First, I think we should be conscious of the situation that we're in. You know, we're talking about what we're going to do and everything. What we're going to do in the light of what? In the light of the situation. See, we're in a situation. The situation is dictating everything. All right? So I think we need to be conscious of the situation that we're in. And what is the situation? We have certain assets and certain liabilities, right? And it's been strongly recommended, and I agree with that 100%, that we document exactly what we own and exactly what our debt is. That has to be documented right away. That should be done within 7 to 10 days at the most. That should be all documented thoroughly. Even if we have to go to the different agencies or whatnot, or different the government departments and search for information, get that information, whatever we have to do, that has to be clearly documented and thoroughly documented. Now, in connection with the situation that we're in, we were talking about consolidating. Now, I'm for a model community, that is, concentrated effort on a community, our site, to make that the best possible demonstration or display of what we are and what we can be and what we can do. You know, I'm for that. I'm for that, really for that. But I think there's opportunity here in New York for more than that. Why? Because again, the situation, what is the situation? You have more people here than anywhere else. You have more people here than anywhere else. So I'm not agreeing that we should have one masjid here. No, you should have 1,000 masjids in this New York area. Look at all these people. How many churches you got here? So you should have 1,000 masjids in this area. So I'm not for pulling up masjids. Wherever masjids are, they should stay. If we have to stay on the grass, bare ground, we should stay there, keep that ground, stay there, and hope to get more ground for more masjids. All right. So again, what is the situation? The situation is that we are poor. Most of our members are very poor people. We don't have rich people. We don't have people that can come in and say, well, I'll give you a loan here, or I will bail you out. We don't have that. You're poor people. So we don't have people who can really take care of these heavy financial responsibilities. They can't manage. So we have to have that fundraising. I recommend that we have a good fundraising program. And the treasurer, he again brought our attention to the need to address our fundraising appeal to the more affluent, and to with these companies that have grants and et cetera for certain purposes. If we could really put our community into a very intelligent package, very intelligent package, showing them a brochure type thing, that's what I'm talking about. Make a nice, very nice brochure of what your community is, its history, its transition, its new philosophy, its accomplishments under the old philosophy, its new philosophy, and how the best of that old philosophy is still with us. We are moving forward still with all the good. You see, if you can put that in a package and show schools, our schools, private schools, we have a lot of private schools. We represent a great assistance to the government. Don't you know that? Anytime you are doing this on your own, you're helping the government out a lot. You're not asking them for anything. They're not paying us anything. They're not helping us. We're spending our money. It's the poor people's money that's keeping these schools going. Well, if you can show them all the good services and quote the police, how they say we are stabilizing factor in the community and how we are helping people, quote them and document everything, you know, and put it in a nice brochure and take that brochure to some of these wealthy people, some of these companies that have already money set aside to help people like this, you see, and they'll be convinced. I agree with Treasurer Marshall that we need to really concentrate on appealing to the more affluent in the society. And don't think that we don't have something that will that will win them. We do. In fact, I think they will see that really there is more, that their money would be put to a better purpose if they donated it to us than if they donated it to the Catholics or to anybody else. I can't think of anybody else. Because who else have the situation that we have? Who else have the problems that we have? Who else is a burden on society like we are? Nobody else. So if they want to help, help somebody that's trying to do something with it. So if you put it in the right package, believe me, you will get the help. But you have to be clean. You have to be straight. And Brother Marshall mentioned that. Because they're going to come down and see what you are. They're going to see if you really what you put on the paper. They're going to say, well, just like Saudi Arabia did. They sent people too. They found out. They said, well, the imam is genuine, but his people are shitty. And they were right. And I couldn't say nothing. They were right. They came in and found how terrible everything was and how people don't preach or they're not living what they're preaching. And they said, hell, this community is nothing. The imam is okay, but we can't invest in that community. That's why we're not getting money from them. We would get billions of dollars, I believe. I believe they would easily give us $1 billion if they saw real character in us and saw people who they could trust, that they could trust. But they came here and they found out that people look like CIA, look like FBI, look like Secret Service men from the police department. They look like bums and thugs and criminals. And no, and they're hypocritical. So they can see that. You think these people are dumb? They're not dumb. It's because they don't, you say, oh, they're backwards, don't have nothing, they don't have industry, they don't have this. And you think they don't have any sense. They got sense. They know what they're looking at. Okay, so now we've lost over there. Believe me, we've lost over there. You forget about getting money over there. You don't get nothing from over there. Very small token kind of things we'll get from over there. Okay, but maybe we haven't lost here in America. So let us work together to clean this house up. And no matter what it takes, if it takes killing some people, let's kill them. Let's clean the house up. And I don't believe you have to kill nobody. When they know we mean business, they'll get the hell away from around us. They'll set that thing up somewhere else. And I'm serious. Believe me, I know who to get to do it. You're laughing. Don't laugh. Because I'll have it done to you right now. You're for laughing. That's right. For laughing, we put you out of here. This is our place. This is not your place. This is our place. Anybody laugh, I throw them out of here. And nothing on earth can stop me from doing that. That's what we have to learn. Stop taking things so lightly. Stop playing games. Get out of that. Be serious. And if you're not right, at least respect what we're doing enough to just go. When I came in this position, I found a lot of people that were no good. I knew them. They worked with me and they were doing good. I saw benefit in them, so I kept them along with me for a while. We got to a point when I saw they can't teach me no more. You're a burden on us. And I love those that had the intelligence to tell me, buddy, ma'am, you're right. I'm going to leave. I'll go peacefully. Just left peacefully. And I'm talking about the people who used to control all of you all. Okay? I'm talking about people who used to control all of you all. That was the decency they had about them. They said, buddy, ma'am, you're right. So we just go out peacefully. They stepped out. Okay, you don't know what's going on. You think you know what's going on. Those that know what's going on, they respect me. You don't know what's going on. This government respects good people. American government appreciates good citizens. And I'm one of the best citizens in this country. And the government appreciates me. So that's one thing we have to learn is just respect. Respect for your leader. You say, I'm your leader, respect me. If you can't do that, then you should go. And stop playing games. Because you could have been gotten rid of a long time ago. I'm trying to help you people. I love you people. Believe me, I could have gotten rid of all of you a long time ago. Everybody that's disagreeing with me, everybody that's giving me problems, I could have gotten rid of you a long time ago. Very easy. Now, compromise my own concerns and objectives just to keep somebody so he won't be in a bread line, so he won't have to go out and steal or rob from somebody. Keep him here with us
If I would do that, then why don't you compromise a little bit and respect me? All right, so getting back to the situation. Now, certainly we have poor people, and we know that they don't have anything to give. But what we have to do is reduce the burden on these people so they will be able to breathe. When they can breathe and feel that, oh, there's this thing, we can't live with this. We can't live with this debt you're talking about here. These people can't live with that. These people don't know how to deal with that. When you tell them that we owe $200,000+, now that ain't all of it. But when you tell them that, they can't deal with that. You already done crushed their spirit. Their spirit is crushed. They say, well, here, there ain't no future here. We can't handle that. We can't deal with nothing that big. You see? So really, you can't even get donated. A lot of people ain't donating to you because they don't see it helping to solve the problem. They say, I could give them $5 a week. Well, hell, I can see that $5 a week helping my family. But I give it to that big hole over there. It ain't going to take care of nothing. It ain't going to help nothing. So see, you're dealing with something that's unrealistic, something that really frightens and burdens the people. So you have to deal with this situation. Now, again, what is the situation? The situation with the mortgage is, the longer you have it, the more expensive it is. That's the situation we're dealing with. Long as you have this mortgage, the more expensive that mortgage is. Because you're paying on the principal, right? You're paying interest on the principal. Now, and the more you get behind, the more that's going to be. It keeps going up. It keeps going up. Okay. So that's the situation. That's part of the situation. Now, the properties that we have. If we can get those properties, Brother Baxter Dean said he believed that we're going to get those properties. That'd be good. We're really hoping for that, praying for that. But now if we get them, what is their state? What condition are they in? Those properties, this property, what is the condition? Okay, so what is the situation for the property? They are constantly costing us more, aren't they? Yeah, because they are deteriorating as we are going. Every day, every month, they are costing us more. So they are deteriorating, and this is costing us more. This is the plan of Hoover. Believe me, this is Hoover's plan. This for all this what we're talking about now, this situation we're in, this is Hoover's plan. Say, the new leader's coming in, we know his principles. They fought with me a long time ago. They fought with me in the 50s. They know that I won't stand for burdening people too much. I fought with John Ali, the national secretary, and I won. Why? Because God is with me. I'm a right man. And good people are going to be on my side. You go to tell the police on it, or tell the FBI so-and-so, they're going to look up my record. They're going to see my record. They say, oh, this dude must have something personal against that man. You know, this man is genuine. Okay, they look up my record. They respect me. They respected me then. They respect me now even much more. They respect me now much more. Okay, so they couldn't win against me. I'm not saying John Ali was an FBI man, but I know he wasn't us. He wasn't us. I know that for a fact. Okay, so, you know, I said, no, we can't have it like this. So we ran it the way I wanted to run it. My father supported me. And that Philadelphia NetJet grew from about 60 some or 70 people to 500 more people. It grew, even in that day and time. Yeah. So this ain't nothing new for me. You people don't know me. That's laughing at me. You don't know a shit about me. That's right. It's terrible. You don't know nothing about me. You don't know my history. You don't know my knowledge. You don't know anything about me. All right, so now, I'm not talking to brother here. I hear it all the time. Somebody giving some kind of grunt, disrespectful grunt, you know, or disrespectful noise, making a disrespectful noise to make it look like what your humanity represents is insignificant and small. I hear it all the time. You all do this all the time. You're constantly doing it because you have to keep your people with you. And you think I'm pulling in, and I am, pulling your people away from you, you see? So you have to laugh and say, oh, that's my, don't, now wait a minute, don't get upset now, don't get your attention on me now, I'm too much. Don't get your feelings going that way, man. Laugh at it, and that's to shock him back in your camp, you see?
play it lightly, so it'll stop him back in your camp. Oh, you say, oh, that's right. You supposed to take this dude for a joke. So that's the situation with the mortgage and the situation with the property. So these properties are costing us more. As long as we keep them, they're costing us more. All right? Okay. Now, we could get people together raise money and raise money from them and try to do something with this. But look, you'll be in a better position to get people together to give you money when you get rid of this unrealistic burden. Then you'll be in a position to get people to give you money. Right. So that's what you have to do first. You say, well, how can we do it without people? We can do it. It's costing us now. We're paying, aren't we? We're constantly paying. Now, Imam Rashid mentioned city properties that's available. That's true. Those properties are available. But sometimes they have so many clauses that tie you in to them and what they want. You don't have the freedom that you would have if you really did your independent thing, you see. So that might be possible in some situation, but maybe for another situation, it might be the wrong step to take. It might be wrong for us, you see. So we were talking about the property here. It could be cut up to halves, and you could put income operations in here. Like you mentioned, doctors and other professional people maybe would rent the offices or rent spaces for clinics or something like that. That might be possible, but doesn't that need a lot of time and study? And then you have to really attract people to come here. How many people are ready to come here to this location with their offices? Especially if they see us turn into what you're talking about, and the Muslims are not responsible for that. You see, right now a lot of them will come in and maybe and open, and I don't see that really, because you got those stores. How many people are anxious to get in those stores? You got people saying, is any store for rent here? People ain't anxious to get in those stores. Hey. So you know, we have to look at it very, very realistically, right? All right. So now let's see what else we have here. It was recommended that we perhaps study it very well and then start liquidating all unnecessary assets. Just the principal mentioned that. Yeah. Now, that's the only practical thing that I know to do. If you got something that's costing you, you make that stop costing you or you get rid of it. It's as simple as that. You got to make it stop costing you or you got to get rid of it. And the way to make this stop costing, you say, put those facilities in here. But let's think about that and see, is that feasible? Is it feasible that these people will risk? Where are we going to get the money to put in here? Are we going to get a loan? Get a loan from somebody to put all the offices? They're not going to come in and put their own office in here. They want you to already have an office, right? You got to have that equipment in here and to attract them. So we have so many rooms, operating room. We have so many first aid facilities here, or whatever, you know. You have to have that, and they got to come in there and see something, right? Then they will rent it. What doctor coming out of school got enough money to come and buy all the heavy expensive equipment? He expects to pay the rent. If you have that, then he will pay the rent, right? Yes. Now, if you're talking about really bringing a hospital or something in here, then will they come here? They will need the whole space, for most likely, all the buildings, you see. So really, I think these things are not thought out enough. I don't think we've thought them out well enough. All right, let's look now at something else. Operating expenses. Now, this is another very important element. It was mentioned by brother teacher, right? Brother Chester, you're a teacher, right? School teacher. Oh, I see. You look like a professor. Yeah, I always thought of you as a teacher. Brother Shackett, he mentioned operating expenses now. Operating expenses, I think a couple of others might have mentioned too. Operating expenses, maintenance. Imam Saeed, I think, didn't he? Mentioned the maintenance cost, et cetera. What's the maintenance cost? Okay, so let's look at that now. Operating expenses. We got most of these facilities rented out. That's income, right? If we could do that, that's income. So that operating expenses is out then, right? But until we do that, this operating expenses are here. Deterioration and operating expenses. Capital loss, deterioration, and operating expenses, right? And whatever liabilities you have, the cost, that's bill, that's bringing the cost on up all the time. So really, I see us in a life and death situation. That's what I see it as. This is a life or death situation. And you got to move in a hurry. You can't just keep on talking about this. That's how come we're here now in this situation. We've been here for now, what, 7 years or 8 years in this situation? And who is it benefiting? We talking about what they're cutting off, what allowances they're making for us. They don't mind that because you are feeding them and not feeding yourself. You're taking money out of poor people's hands and pockets and you're giving it to the establishment. So they don't care how long you hang on here. They don't mind cutting a little bit off every now and then. Say, well, we had thought of getting 10% or 40% from them, but they're still hanging on. Say, well, you know, 20% of blood is better than nothing. Say, well, we get 20% blood from them now. You see? So they don't mind that. You stay here. They're eating you up. I'm trying to cover everything that came to my attention there. Now, you mentioned abandoning Hollow Mesca and going to Woodycrest. You mentioned also abandoning Woodycrest and coming here. Actually, I'm not for either. I think we should see what we can do with Woodycrest. Now, those people who see these properties all messed up, what are they trying to do? People who got a little money, what are they trying to do? They're trying to buy them, aren't they? So why should we abandon anything? They're trying to buy these properties. They want this property, they want Woodycrest. They want these properties, but they want them for nothing. Right? They want them for nothing. Okay. So if we abandon them, we'll get a little something out of them. But if we possibly can stay here and hold it, that would be much better. That would be much better. Now, it's not practical. It's not intelligent for us, or practical for us to stay in this facility like this. We can't utilize it. Can you imagine what you could do with this space you have here? If this space was tailored to your needs, can you imagine what you could do? Why then, you could, if you don't need all this space for building, you could just cut off the space. Say, I need this much space for building. That's all the building space I need right now. That's all the reality calls for. Okay? Now you got all that other land, right? They got vacant lots. They got war zones here. Look like a plane came over here with bombs and just hit the place, right? Yeah. So look, if you say this is my property, and then you demolish this building, okay? Say if you demolish this building, and then you put up a small building on this land to suit your immediate needs, with a plan to use all of it. And then until you got that plan, you put asphalt down. Parking space that you can use for flea market sales, etc., right? You make it nice enough, the kids might even pay you 50 cents to come in there and skate on it. It'd be so smooth and nice, they might like to come in there and skate, right? Put some music in there, this jockey out there on the lot, and have it nice and smooth enough, they might come in there and skate and 50 cents. Might can make a little money that way, or car space, or whatever, you know, if they allow that. I don't know what they allow here. But if they don't allow that at all, you'll have space for your own operations, right? You see, you have space for your own operations. And if you want, you can throw a tent up there or whatever, and have a big meeting too. Just, you have a small facility, but you got the land. So like if the weather allows it, you could have a big tent put out there or something, and have a big meeting, real big meeting, use the whole land. So I think since it's paid for, right? It's all paid for except, what, 200 and something, yeah. No, this, what you're talking about here now. Yeah. This is paid for except for $200,000+, right? Okay. So I doubt if you can get this land if it's $200,000+, could you? Couldn't even get the land. All right. So it's worth, to me, it's worth it to pay this off. Pay this off. But it ain't worth it to stay in this facility. Pay it off and then demolish this facility. It's a nice facility, but you can save it. They got people who come in now, and they'll save even the brick. If you want a big build, you want the brick. You want to use the brick in the next building. They got people will come in and raise this thing to the ground, and they will save your brick, whatever you want to save. They will save it. Whatever you think is worth saving, they'll save it. Now you may say, why if I demolish this and we can get money for it? Get money for it when? When you gonna get some money for it? Oh, but it's still firm. It's still got good structure. Good structure for what? Good structure to cost us? Good structure for what? Demolish it. Keep the land. So can we demolish the mess debt? If you sell it, somebody gonna demolish it. You rather for them to kill your mess debt than you? I think it's better to take a mess debt to come down by Muslim hands, rather than by non-Muslim hands. At least there's some affection, some sentiments for it as we take it down, right? Let's take it down. You can do that. That's what the developer will do. Do you think the developer will come in here and try to redo this? Tell me, who think a developer will come in here and try to redo this building here? I've been up your steps. I've seen the place. I don't believe any developer will come in here and try to redo this. No, indeed. I believe a developer will destroy it, greatly erase it. He would raise this down. You know, he would get rid of this. Then he will build something new there. That's what I believe a developer will do. Now, if a developer will do that, shouldn't we use a developer's sense? Why should we be different? That's what I think we should do. And how much it costs to raise it to the ground?
Almost nothing. All you have to do is let the man take away what he wants. Most of those demolition, what you call those people, wreckers, all they want to do is just get the copper, get the pipe, get the sinks or whatever, right? And if it's good brick, they want to take them away too. They could even get their money just with the wreckers. They could get their money, couldn't they? Most likely they would get their money just taking the wreckers. All right.
We know because we already had it done in Chicago. You see? They'll get their money from the wreckers.
A lot of them, they're hungry. They just want to wreck the thing. Don't take nothing to wreck nothing. Ain't much work in wrecking it. And they're hungry. They take the pot. They take whatever's there. And that's how they'll get that money. But if you want to pay them and save certain things, you can do that too. You can ask them what they cost size to wreck it. They'll tell you. Then you can say, well, I want these bricks saved. I want this here. And then you can do that. And we got brothers. Put them to work. Have them come in there and clean the bricks. While the man digging the site, they be cleaning the bricks, getting ready to put them back up again in the shape we want, in the design we want, right? This is feasible, believe me. Sure, it's workable. But if you don't do that, at least I think we should think seriously about destroying, demolishing this.
Now, I think they would like to see you move away from them. I think they got some plans. They want to see you move away from them. You see? And they know you ain't gonna be able to stay here forever. They know the clock is running out on you. The fan is going out. You ain't gonna have no more time. They know that. Unless the Arabs come and give you some money or something, you know. And they know if you get enough money, you ain't gonna be here either. So either way, you're going, right? They know if you got enough money, you leave it yourself, you see? So they know either way, you're gonna be gone. I think this spot is very nice, very good. This is Harlem. And dope addicts all around here, and we have been a good influence on them. So why leave them to something else, or go away and maybe they'll come in here with something new and push the dope addicts in on another area,
into another neighborhood. That's what they'll do. They'll move this filth and blight to another area, won't they? That's what they do.
Anytime they come in here for a development plan, they'll move that right on to another area, and it'll be right behind. It'll be right with them somewhere. So why don't we think about staying here? I think we should stop running.
I think we should stop moving all over the city. Because then you're
going along with the plan. The plan is to take people who are not stable
and move them about when it's needed, and put other people in there. So you pay really for the richer people to come in. Right now, look how cheap the land is. But you live here, didn't you? See how cheap they're getting your land back? It's your land. But they're getting it back so cheap. That's the plan. Now you go to another area and you live there until you can't go no further because your vision is not good and you don't have the unity. You don't have the solid communities that you need, you see, in order to survive. So your community goes down again. You go there. You invest in there. You pay your rent. Thousands of, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars are spent in there over a generation or so. And then when you can't go no further and the deterioration gets too much for you, then they start upping the cost of living to drive you out quick. They up the cost of living to drive you out quick. Don't you know this inflation is not for the rich? This inflation is to eliminate the poor man. So that drives you out. You can't survive no more as a private businessman. You can't survive no more with your property. So they drive you out. Then they come in and demolish the place, let it all go to pot, let it go to doo-doo. Excuse my language, but all I can think of is shit. Let it go to shit. And then they come in and say, oh, look at this blight on the city. We have to have a development plan. Then they come in with a development plan and get your land. Right? And this thing happens all over the United States. Maybe all over the world, I don't know. But I know it happens in the United States, Chicago, and everywhere else. So I think we should start holding the fort. This is ours, we paid for it, why sell it? Why move out? Don't you know there's a rule in Islam that a Muslim should never sell his property? That's a rule in Islam. It says a Muslim should never sell his property. Property is valuable, especially to a non-Muslim. Because you and a non-Muslim, aren't you in competition? If you don't see that, then you're crazy. Muslim and non-Muslim, we are in competition, although we're working together too. But we're in competition too. And maybe they're a good Christian, and many of them, they like to see you progress. But there's that Christian that sees himself at odds with the Muslim. And he's looking for the opportunity to reduce you and advance himself, right? Yeah. So you are in a competition with Christians. The bad Christian, we can identify them. You're in competition with the prejudiced Christian. That Christian who's prejudiced against your community, against your religion, and want to see you really voiceless, dead, gone, vanished. They want to see that. This is a reality we have to accept. You think those people fought thousands of years of war, hundreds of years, 1,100 years of war? You think they all gone? They fought 1,100 years against the Muslims, Christians. Why? Because they wanted to stamp out Islam. Okay, now you think that's gone? That ain't gone. You still got Christians who have the same attitude. In fact, you ain't got to go to the white folk. You got Belarians who have been prejudiced against Muslims and don't even know. They don't know what Muslim life is, really. But they have been prejudiced against Muslims, and they'll work against Muslims. They'll come in here and among us. And they'll do everything to hold back our progress. We have to be aware of this. Now, if you think I'm a fool, you the fool. I know a lot of you right here, right before me right now. You are in here to see that we contain our forces, to contain our productive forces, to see that we don't grow. That's your purpose here. That's just why you're here. You have no other purpose here but that, just to see that we are contained and don't really grow. I know that. I could put my finger on you if I wanted to. Touch your head right now. Go out there and touch you on the head. I could do that. But I won't do that because I think there's hope. I think if people get to live with us and see us, they'll see that really their mind is wrong. The mind that they've been indoctrinated to have is wrong. That we are good people, they ought to be supporting us. We the hope for the poor people, especially African American people. That's right. Now, we're going to demand more and more that all people working with us give honest support and have right attitude. Honest support and right attitude. Well, I think this is progress. We've come together and we've heard different ones speak. And it seems that certain ones
have been more privy to information than others. So they know what they're talking about when they're talking about figures. Brother Backward Dean, he impressed me because he talks like he knows what he's talking about. Imam Backward Dean from Queens, right? Yes, right. He impressed me as a man that knows what he's talking about. All right. Brother Treasurer, his recommendation, I think, was very sincere, sincere recommendation. Okay, so these people are here.
But we also have Imam. And tell me, when all of this was developed, when Woody Crest was purchased, when all of this was developed, were we working together or separately? Was it under one authority or under many different? Under one authority, and we were together, right? Okay, now we have Imam in these places, and we have an emergency situation, right? Okay, so I think, Brother Imam, you can't stand back and say this ain't your responsibility. It's all of you all's responsibility. And Imam Ali Rashid, he's here. And what I'm going to recommend now with strong recommendation is that Imam Rashid, Ali Rashid, head a committee, a team, to put this the plan, the direction that we have brought out, put it in black and white, and put it in order of its emergency, priority, and with respect to the burden that's on us and time limit, you see. Put it together and in black and white, get the documents that will be clear proof of our assets and liabilities. Get all those documents, and we have to have somebody, some combination of persons, working on the planning side, and at the same time, those people, maybe and the others, all of them together, working on how to implement the plan. So a plan and implementation committee, that's what we need. Don't we need that?
Right.
A plan and implementation committee. We need that. And I think that committee should be Ali Rashid, the Bronx, Imam from Bronx, Imam from Queens, should be all the imams in this immediate New York area. They should be on that team. And nothing should be kept from any of them. No secret. No secret. Anything you should see, they all should see. I don't care what it is. If it's financial information, I don't care what it is. Whatever you should see, all of them should see. And then you should get together and work on it. And work on it hard. And then find who in the community, how many people you have who are really qualified to assist you. You'll be the nucleus. You'll be the nucleus, you see. Now you go out, you reach out. Who can assist us? Say, Brother Treasurer, he knows something about this. Let's bring him in on this because he knows something about it. See how he can contribute. Sister Principal, see, think. You need thinking people. Bring her into this. Let her sit in on those meetings. Let us let her contribute her thinking. We need all the good thinking people. Bring them in. The best thinking people, the best clear-minded people, and especially those who seem to have driven their state down to permanently. Now listen to you all, and I can tell who drove a state down. It's just a temporary move until his people tell him to go to New York or to California or someplace else. You know, he's on to do a mission. He's been here, so he can't drive no state down. He doesn't know what they're gonna say later. They might tell him to move. You know, go to this side. Okay, you got this assignment now. So he can't move. He can't drive no state down. But some people, I think they know that they're here. Maybe they've been cut loose. Maybe they cut their bosses loose. Or maybe their bosses have cut them loose. I recognize some people who've driven the state down, they want to stay here. And I can hear in their voice that they want to stay here. Well, these are the people that we need. Those people that's going to stay here and really want to stay here. Let us get together with those people and with the good thinking people among them and work ourselves out of this situation. We can do it. All right. Now, that's first on the agenda, in my opinion. We have to organize that group and set timetables for accomplishing certain things. There should be 7 days or 10 days limit on bringing those documents in. 7 to 10 days. Have all those documents in. You see? And set a time limit for everything. Don't just do things. Because then you open yourself up for who was playing, right? Who was there? But you open yourself up for who was playing when you don't have a time limit. Because that's how they operate. They operate on you for getting time. And they set the time out. You never accomplish what you want to accomplish. And they operate on you being silly enough to attend matters that doesn't really pertain to what you all about. So they drop a whole lot of different documents on you, a whole lot of unnecessary reading on you. They'll give you a whole file. They'll give you the whole room where the files are. They drop that on you. Say, well, it takes them 5 years to read this. So we have stalled them for 5 years. No, we know what we want. Go right to what you want and don't accept nothing else. Don't let them pile no reading up on you. Don't let them tie you up with a whole lot of unnecessary things. You direct yourself. Go right to what you want and deal with that. Allahu Akbar. And believe me, if I thought that this was America doing these things to us, I would be gone. And I'd pray Allah that He would erase this place from the planet. I'd go and pray Allah. Pray to Him earnestly all day and night. You probably hear I lost 100 pounds. I'd be praying. Won't even eat. Pray to Allah, erase that goddamn country from the map, Lord, please. That's right. But I know this is not America. This is a few rotten apples in the barrel. In government and in the open street society that's doing these things. And they make you think that this is the way, that this is impossible to have it any other way. And you stupid. You believe anything they tell you. And you sell off for nothing. I treat you people much better than they treat you. Believe me. If you always support me, you get much better treatment than you get. Your income would improve. Your whole life would improve. Your dignity in the world would improve if you would support me wholeheartedly. They won't treat you right. They never did. They use you up and throw you away. All right, so I think I covered what I wanted to cover. Now, in conclusion, let me say that the farm now, don't think that we raise money, funds, charity, to take care of that farm situation. I keep my word. Those people are getting all of their money back. Didn't I say it was a loan? That's right. They're getting every penny of their money back. Only those who said that they didn't want it back. Some said they didn't want it back. They gave small amounts. They said we wasn't giving it as a loan. It was charity. But all those who gave it as a loan, which is most of it, we're giving it back. I mean almost 100% of it. We're giving it back. And I had a way to do it. If I didn't, I wouldn't have put my word out there. I don't tell you what I could do if I can't live, if I can't deliver. I have to see myself delivering before I put my word out there. And I saw how I could deliver. So we asked for the loan. You're getting your money back. That's right. In fact, you should be getting the check soon. Some of you might have already gotten the check. I don't know. But the check should be coming. The money is there. The money has been there since the 17th. Now all they have to do is make the checks out and send them to you. Allahu Akbar. See, I'm your leader. And I'm not here to do you wrong. Imam can't understand why I won't want money. I got money. My rent is paid. I'm staying here. I'm not paying the rent. I'm not paying the lights. I'm not paying the utilities. I can't hardly buy myself no food. The brother said, no, we get it. So the food is paid. All my expenses paid. So he comes to you and says, ma'am, here's a donation for you. I say, no. Say, how come you need something? You know I'm not. I don't have money. But all I want to do is just live. My bills are paid and I can live, I know I'm eating, I'm sleeping, and the bills are paid and I'm able to work, I'm able to go and do what I have to do for the community. That's all I want until I can get more. And how can I take more if that man's telling me he got bills, he can't pay his bills? My bills are paid. Now, how can I take the money that you bring me when you're telling me your bills ain't paid? Would I be a brother? That ain't no brother. My bill is paid. You pay my bill, then you bring me $200-some dollars or more and say, "Here, brother, man, this donation for you." I can't take that, so I gave it back to him. Right. Yeah. I ain't going to accept a penny from you here while I'm out here. As long as you're taking care of me, that's it. That's all I want. And whatever money they donate to me, I want it to go to you. Because you need it. You got to pay your bill. That's right. Or to go to these other brothers who's working for you. Their time is paid up, taken up. We use their time, their sacrifices from their families and everything. They stay with me 24 hours. So they got bills. Let's pay some of their bills too. You see? Allahu Akbar. All right. Now, lastly, I think here's one. Yeah, we're talking about selling, right? Selling those assets that's not practical for us to keep. Okay. So I would. They think you got, they got you all people thinking that we gone to the Arabs. We sold out to the Arabs. See, our imam is in hell right now with the Arabs because he won't follow the Arabs. Tell him the truth. Get out there and correct it. Farrakhan, he got his freedom to do what he's doing, and you got your freedom to fight any lie that he's telling on us. So get out there and fight. And if they won't let us on the media, we know they prefer a Farrakhan to us because Farrakhan is disgracing al-Islam. And he's shaming the name and misrepresenting the name of al-Islam, and Farrakhan is holding his people down. Farrakhan is a slave master in the camp. They know that. So quite naturally, the bad people in this country, certainly they will help him get on television or help him grow quietly, because his image ain't clean enough now. We got the people's eyes open, and his image ain't clean enough for them to show him now. But they like to hold him underground, let him grow, until they can get us out of the way, and then the people's minds will be changed and the sight will be gone, then they'll bring Farrakhan out again and do the whole thing to us again. So we got to realize that, and we got to fight hard. We got to press hard. Get out there too. If they won't let us on the media, you got people. You know the people will follow you if they see you doing something. I'm not saying you ain't doing something. You're doing a great thing. And I told you this in privacy, and I tell you this before these people. This man has done a tremendous job. Just to stay here is a tremendous job. That's right. Just to stay here and deal with these financial problems and keep people coming, that's a miracle in itself almost, especially in Harlem. Okay. All right. So I'm not discrediting him because we ain't doing it nowhere. And I don't know Harlem City where we're doing it. But we should be more visible. We have to be more visible. We say we got something good for the people. How come we're not more visible? But when it comes to Patriotism Day parade, all the Uncle Toms, oh, they ready for that. Yes, ma'am. We had a Patriotism Day parade and flag and everything, you know. Okay, that's good. We need that. We need identification with our country because we know that we've been crippled, too, by not being able to really identify with the country, you know. That's been a problem, but that's not all of it. Have some signs out there, too, telling the people what you're doing in education, what you're doing in business, what your vision is for the community. So you have to get out there and tell them. And let them see what we're doing, what we're doing. We got a library. How many Bilalians got a library? We got a library. We got a college dorm in Sedalia, right? They don't know these things. Get out there and tell them. They say, oh, they've abandoned, they've retreated. They're gone. The Muslims are gone. But you know that's a lie. So how come you don't get out there and tell them that? The Muslims are here. We are here stronger than we ever were.
We're here with world dignity. We're here with universal dignity. We're the movement for the common man. We're the movement for the suffering Bilalian, for the suffering black. We are the leader for them. If you don't believe us, look at us and look at those who claim to be and make your decision. That's what we should do. If you don't believe it, look at us and look at them, then make your decision. And if you do that, you'll see you have more people waking up, more people having faith in you. They'll join you. They'll join you in the demonstration. They'll join you in the parade. People walk, showing that you're a positive force, that you're a growing, healthy thing in the community. That's what we need to do. And you get more help, you get more support. And you deal with that image out there that they are creating. They're constantly trying to bury us. And we ain't even throwing the dirt back. We should be trying to bury them. But if we ain't trying to bury them, at least you can do is try to throw the dirt back that they throw it on you, right? We won't even throw the dirt back. It's covering us up. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And his prayer got him. Man, I won't bury it. He said his prayer, the dirt just got up to his neck now. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Pretty soon he's called, he raised from the nap. All right, so if we were to make that first move right now, decide on who, I don't know all the imams, but take their names down, write their names down, get their consent for them to be on the committee. They have to consent to be on the committee. And decide when your next meeting is going to be right now. That's the way business people do. They don't leave it in the air. Every meeting. They know what they're going to do at the next meeting. They know when it's going to be, and they have an idea what's going to be on the agenda. Is that right? Okay, so I'm turning it over to you, Chief. You do it.
Walaikum
assalamu alaikum. Brothers, imams, those who the imam just mentioned, I think we should meet tomorrow afternoon. I would like for the imams, all of them in the metropolitan area, Imam Haq, Imam Zaki, Imam Kazim Muhammad and Imam Bakhruddin, the treasurers in the masjid and the imams that in this metropolitan area and the pertaining to this work, practically everybody that's here. How many can we meet there tomorrow at the afternoon that we named in that category? Treasurers and imams. Okay, tomorrow afternoon about, we have a program tomorrow. We have class.
To
12. Yes. So sometime after the class tomorrow, we can assemble our meeting and begin then to organize how we're going to proceed to get organized, number one, and then try to ascertain what are our needs and projections of what we're trying to do. Yes, sir. Right after the class, 1 o'clock, right after to do a prayer. Right after to do a prayer. Yes, sir. Right, 12:40. Right after to do a prayer. 1:30. Any other suggestions?
They need to put a time limit on every meeting. I know from experience, you should put a time limit on every meeting. Say if you're going to meet at 1, you should have a definite time to leave them.
2 hours. We should be able to get some idea within a 2 hour span of time. So from 1 to 3.
And Brother Nam, I recommend again that if people talk, I don't care what they're saying, there should be a time limit on their talk. Right. 3 minutes, 5 minutes.
Yes, sir.
I would suggest that we set the agenda. Brother Nam, what should be on the agenda, what we want to accomplish, one of the things we want to get the organization into the name of
the person. Well, the first thing on the agenda would be organization. Organization would be the first thing. That is, who can do what? What expertise they have to offer and what category they want to work in. First thing would be organization as the category of the expertise. In other words, some people working on real estate, what would be the planning. We work on planning and organization. That would be the first, and that would be. Yes, sir.
I found out that when you don't have a lot of people who have qualifications, expertise, that you can't follow a plan like that. Because you may find one brother who has some qualification in real estate, you may find no brother that has mm-hmm. qualification in real estate, okay? But you will find some brothers who have at yeah. least some good sense about real estate.
Yes, sir.
So I don't think you can follow a plan like that. I think you what you have to do is just let people come in and let people express themselves and see what they can contribute. And maybe you'll have one person contributing something to the real estate solution or to the property solution. And you have the same person contributing something to the financial solution. You see, so you have to utilize all the resources you've got.
Yes, sir. That's what I meant by organization and planning. That when they come in, they would be able then to say.
Who knows about real estate?
I don't know.
Maybe nobody knows about
that's
it.
Right.
But so happens we do have Brother Dr. Jude who knows about real estate. So we do have that. So people that maybe you say, who knows about real estate? Brother Dr. Dean say, I know something about real estate. Say, okay, Brother Dr. Dean, do you know anybody else here that you think can help you?
Right.
Work with you? And brother say, oh, I think I can work with him. So if he, the brother Dr. Dean doesn't know him, let them get together. Let them have a meeting. And Brother Dr. Dean see, and they see if they can work together, you see. And say another brother say, well, I know something about the city planning. I think you know a lot about that, you know. But there are other people who know something too. There are other people say, well, I'm not authority, but I know something too. We can work together there, you see. And some people say, some individual might say, may I tell you where I think I can be helpful?
Right.
Let him say it.
That's right.
And if we all see that he can be helpful there, then let him help there. Whether he has the expertise or not.
Yes.
Because you know a lot of people with expertise, they got us in this trouble.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly what I meant, Brother Imam, when we talk about planning. We don't know what the components are going to be tomorrow. So the first thing on the agenda would be to try to get the categories that we can work in, categories of expertise, or get some kind of plan or format how we're going to compile our information.
I think you should identify first your needs.
Yes.
On the book. Mm-hmm. Identify your needs. Put your needs up there. Mm-hmm. Then ask who can serve this need. Who can serve that need? Mm-hmm. Who can serve that need? You get everybody that can help those needs. That's what I would do. Don't put real estate on the board. That ain't your need.
No, I need is finance.
No.
A lot of the problems.
No, your need is to build it. What to do with it?
Yes.
That's right. That's your need. And after you study it, maybe you say, now we need a real estate man, right? Well, don't jump there before you really study the need. Study the need. See who can help with that. Who has it? See what they can do. But I think Brother Dean is going to be really a key person.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows real estate. He has knowledge about real estate. And he knows the situation he is in. So I think he's going to be a key person. He's not back to Dean. A key person for at least giving us some idea of what the reality is. And then I think, after all, I don't know what we're dealing with here. I don't know the whole situation. You live here, I don't know.
That's right.
And who knows? Maybe Dr. Dean may not have the courage that this man might have to really carry forward the right solution. So maybe he'll say, this is the reality, but he'll stop there because maybe he knows who he's facing. And he can't face that right now. You see? But another brother, he say, well, look here, we have to carry this all the way. This isn't a solution. Let's not stop here. That's no solution. That's a half solution. Let's go all the way. So we have to look for courageous people too, don't we?
That's right.
That's right. We have to look for courageous people as well as people with experience.
So the first priority we're going to have at the meeting tomorrow will be to discuss the building. That would be dealing with what we're going to do with the building. That would be a category. Then we have the other category would be...
Who's going to look up the document?
Yes.
Who got the document? Bring them in. Where are they? Are they in China? No. They're in New York. Bring them in tomorrow. A.M. That's how you operate them.
Mm-hmm.
Say, okay, where the documents are? You got them? Yes, I got them. Where are they? They're in New York and are in Mississippi. They're in New York. Bring them tomorrow. Such and such time. Don't give them no time to start working no game.
That's right.
You give them enough time, they come in with phony documents.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go through the same thing again later.
Mm-hmm.
See? Who knows what's going on? We don't know what's going on. But I know that we got people who've been working against us ever since 1947, you know, Elijah Muhammad came back out. They had the whole thing set up. That's right. Okay. So we don't know what we're dealing with. So let's
So that's work like we fighting for life, because that's what we're fighting for. Don't give nobody no time to play on the job. So why should you say take next week for something important like a document? The document, you say you got it, okay, you should be able to go get it. In fact, you should sit here and say, okay, brother, we'll wait here until you bring it back.
That's right.
Get in a cab and go get that document. Bring those documents back here. Brother so-and-so will go with you. Brother so-and-so will go with you. Go and get those documents. Come right back here with those documents. We're waiting right now. Why should we delay?
That's right.
Okay, so the first thing is to know what assets, right? We have and what our abilities are. Okay, so all those materials, all that information, you say, okay, let's have it right now. Where is it? Okay, it's at my house. Okay, how far is your house? Can you be back here in an hour? No, I need an hour and 20 minutes. Okay, be back here in 55 minutes. You knew when you asked him how long it takes to get back here. Okay, be back here in 55 minutes. That's the way you operate. And anybody can stand to operate like that, then they ain't with us. They're flat.
That's right.
Yes, sir. That's first on the agenda. Find out where we are. Get all the documents.
You get some practical work to get them now. Okay. Are you saying wait till tomorrow? Can we do it now? We got time. 7:00.
Well, the only thing is not business hours.
Yes, sir.
You want to do it during business hours?
Are we talking about documents that are right here in the mess table, right? I mean, we're not talking about going anywhere. They're here, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, be here in the mess desk, we can see those documents.
Yes, you talking about what documents? You talking about documents on real estate?
On documents on all the assets that we have.
Yeah, well, yeah, we have some documents. We have the documents on all the properties, but all the properties belong to the city right now. They own the documents. So in order to get the documentation from them, we have a list of those properties that's given to the city. We have those documentation. And we have the documentation, the real estate, the incorporation on the property. We have that upstairs right now. So that documentation is already with the legal department. We have that information all together. Now.
And whatever liability. Whatever
and we have the liabilities on it too, in taxes. We have that document as well. Yes, sir. That's all documents. We have all that document. Yep, that's what we got. I got all that. That's documented now. We got the last kind of the bill. I'll print out and the place
closed. I trust them. It can be done during business hours. It should be during business hours. Because once you see those documents, then you should take those documents to a good bank, safe deposit box, and put it in there, and put more than one person on name on it.
That's right.
In fact, all the amounts to sign them. And have to have three to take it out. To go in, three signatures to get it out. That's what I suggest. Then you got it in a safe deposit box. Because who knows what will transpire once they see me getting ready to pull ourselves out of this situation. Because they resting now because you ain't doing nothing. But they see you gonna really move to pull yourself out of this situation, who knows what they might put into work. They might put something in the motion. So we want to get those documents, and once we get them, we want to put them in under lock and key in a bank.
Post office.
Make duplicates, several for each event, for everybody on the committee.
Can you give us an idea of what properties exactly you have? It's one of them. Okay, we read that letter, but I'll tell you again from off the top of my head. The properties that we have intact is the house in New Rochelle, the masjid here, the vacant lot, we had to take it off the tax roll, and the house, we had to take it off the tax roll in Queens. Now the rest of these properties were taken in taxes, all the rest. Now, they are to be given back to us because we've been filed since 1977, 76, we've been filing for tax exemption. They never honored the tax exemption, so we have been pending in court all this time. In the meantime, the city took it back. They failed to delay. That's part of our defense as far as our legality is concerned, because they didn't answer us. Now they are forced to answer us. We can't make them answer. They like to answer. They're trying to take the property. So they took the property, but we also have access to the property. In other words, we still, like for instance, if we have the property in Queens, we have a pay a fee for redemption, a redemption fee. I mean, we still have access to the property. So we have to pay them a small fee for rent for the property as management. So we pay them $100 a month. But once that property is turned back over to by the court, they have to pay all the money back to us that we paid into the property.
Go to and let them know what your intentions are. That none of these properties were sold to any individual. These are properties bought by Muslim charities.
Yes.
And they won't go to enrich any individual. They're going to sell these properties, and if anybody stay there, he will, if he's a man, he'll just be living there as a prophet, so it'll be a apostolate for him or something. If he's not an imam, then he'll be paying rent. And it'll be income property, we'll be paying our taxes. You go there and tell them that you, they see that you're going to abide by the law, that you're going to operate only within the law. You're not going to operate outside the law. If they see that you're serious about that, and you tell them that, and you tell them of your plan to really help contribute to the decent order of the environment of the society, if they see that that's really your aspiration, that's really a burning and desire in you, they love that. They respect that. Now, you might run into some devils there, but when you run into the devil, then go around him, try to find his boss or somebody else, you know.
Right.
You look for somebody else, you know. And so you find a person who has the same sentiments that you have. We respect those healthy sentiments. And that person will be the key person for getting you whatever you want. If you want that exemption, you can get it. In fact, I think the brother said
we more or less got the exemption. They just find it to me. The way I understand it, based on what's been reported to me with the lawyers and with the man who's handling the case, Snyder, who's handling the case, we're in contact with him, he says that they're in the final negotiation period and that we have gotten all our property or will be getting all our properties back
right.
in the condition that they're in.
Right.
That's what I hear, but until that is a decree from the court, then we talk about it as we're still in redemption until it actually comes down as clear. Then we're still talking about it. So far
right.
as I'm concerned, they still got it
right.
until they say we don't have it. Then
still,
they say we do have it.
All that can be documented.
Yes, all of it is documented. What I'm trying to say, all of it is documented.
All right.
And all that we need in documentation can be presented now if you want.
Right.
See, that's what I'm talking about. All of it already have been presented and duplicated, read to the believers as what was up. We read all that to the believers here. And we did it on more than one occasion. And we keep doing it all the time. Now, many of you can testify to that. Is that right?
Right.
And you have the documents, and they're able to be seen at any time. The treasurer will let you see them. We had copies. Robert Dean got a copy. Treasurer Marshall got a copy. There's a copy in Sarah's office, the secretary's office. All this is available. And it's been available all the time. And all of us knew the situation, period, because, I mean, Imam Hawk himself has worked on these properties with me and has documentation just like I have. And I'm sure he's given that information to Woody Press. You should have it to the treasurer. Imam Hawk got the same documentation that I got. So you should have to be able to get that information. So if there are any other questions, I'd be glad to deal with them.
Well, ma'am, next I'd like to recommend that we go to Woodycrest.
Yes.
That I go to Woodycrest with the imams and all those who are concerned here.
Yes.
We go to Woodycrest and we look at that whole facility.
Yes.
All right? We could... I do the same thing here because I haven't had a look at the whole all of this. So it'd be nice if I could see this property and then go to Woodycrest and see the whole facility there, and we all go together and look at it. Because Imam Hawk, they think that it is feasible to stay there and to have housing in that facility. Is that right? So we should go there and look at that. Because if you can have housing there, and if it's decent housing, see if it's not decent housing, then it'll be slum housing in a new developing community, because they're going to eventually take all this down. You know what they're going to do. These buildings ain't going to stand.
Right.
Eventually all this is going to change. Yeah. So it has to be, I know what I recommended is right. I know that'll work, but we don't want to, if it can be done, we want to stay there. I know if you build a new structure there, and if your building is right, and if it's nice, You ain't gonna build nothing cheap in the cheapest neighborhood. You know, you'll build a message the size of this room. But that'll be a beautiful message. Beautiful message. It'll complement whatever plans they have, development plans they have. It'll complement that. A nice minaret and everything, nice message. And you have the other land to expand on, right?
Yes, right.
As you get the money to expand, you see?
That's right.
And you won't put nothing there that won't complement the best plan they have for that neighborhood.
Yes, yes.
You see? And then you'll stay there. I'm convinced that we stay there. We ain't gonna move. Because our plan is, what we've done is beautiful. We build something to stay there.
Yes.
Something comparable to what they're demanding now, you see? So I'm sure that you talk about millions of dollars, you said $13 million for a masjid. We can build a masjid for less than $1 million. And I mean a nice masjid.
Right.
To take care of your masjid needs in Brook and Bronx, and to take care of your masjid needs here.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Very nice one. But you had to have the cooperation of your community.
That's right.
That's right.
Put down labor and everything.
That's right.
You see? And you could build a nice one. For about $1.5 million, I'm telling you, really could build something.
Well, we want to help him tear this down and do that. That's the point.
Something that make this look like nothing. Because really all he got here is a big old building, right? The little dome up there, what is that?
Nothing. Something can be removed
right. Immediately. You got a little dome up there over there. That ain't the mess yet. This ain't the mess yet. That dome is a mess, and that floor you're up there praying on.
Yes.
Okay,
but
well, I'm
ground.
Saying that you can build something
yes.
that accommodates more people, that'll be more dignified, prestigious for this community, and you won't have to spend no more than about $1 million, $250,000.
That's right.
I know because I've already talked to
him.
That's right.
But brother, ma'am, that's what we want to do. We want to solve the problem any way we can solve it. And I mean, and I want to be instrumental in making sure the problem be solved. I have no sentimental attachment to no concrete at all, no place.
And believe me, when that fellow recommended a wall, I agree with you. What is it, a whaling wall? Amen. What is it, a whaling wall? They want to put us behind a wall. Two stories high. That's what the plan calls for. Development plan. The method will be in that facility, but around where the method will be a wall, two stories high, he said. In other words, they're putting you behind bars. They're putting us in prison. And believe me, that's what the haters of our religion in this society want. They want to put us in prison.
So Imam saw that. He said, he'll send him some specs that he can look at to broaden his scope and change that from the wall immediately. So he said that would be good. So we dealt with the wall.
We don't need no wall. So
no, we don't need no wall. We need
the wall.
That's right.
Well, we've been in Harlem all these years and didn't need a wall. The people who love us, they respect us, obviously. You don't need no wall, they need a wall.
Yes, sir.
I know, Brother Imam, you have read our message before, and I know you haven't commented on birthday yet. Two things, can you come over to birthday also? Would it be a committee?
No, I think we should do the same thing.
Yeah.
I think the committee should look at all of these.
Because
like I said, all of it was together once.
That's
under one authority.
Yes.
So you all should accept responsibility for everything
yes.
in this
that's
New York
right.
area.
Right.
And then we should take the committee by, and I would like to go by with you before I leave here. Look at Brooklyn too. Look at all of these places. And let us decide what is practical and what's feasible to do. What's feasible and practical. And then let's do it. That's all we have to do it. Shoot, if I had cancer in this arm, man, if I couldn't get a doctor fast enough, I'd say, give me nine. That arm would go off.
Yeah.
Right, they gonna die because of that arm, are you? I love it too. It's gonna be a long time. They had cancer there, man. They gonna get. See, how long do we have? It's 20 minutes. You can't get me downtown. Say maybe in 22 minutes. Chop! Stick it in some oil and burn it, and then go downtown. Say not a doctor can. What we should do? Is it okay? Will I survive? I promise. That's
happy. Hope praise
you. Serious business. You have to do what you have to do.
That's right. Let's do it.